28. It just happened. Randy Azell reached over from his bunk and touched a button to illuminate his electronic alarm clock. It read 9:50 p.m. He picked up his ringing telephone.
"We have a situation," Steve Curtis told him. "The well is blown out. We have mud going to the crown."
"Do y'all have it shut in?" Azell asked. Azell carried the title Senior Tool Pusher. He was one of the more experienced hands aboard the rig that night. Curtis was an assistant driller.
"Jason is shutting it in now," Curtis said. "Randy, we need your help."
"Steve, I'll be right there." In the darkness, the deep water horizon floated on 4,992 feet of seawater in the Gulf of Mexico. It had been commissioned 9 years earlier, one of a new generation of seagoing industrial robots designed to drill for oil in unprecedented saltwater depths. It was a towering, brightly lit metallic behemoth, almost 400 feet tall and 250 feet across. The rig had hovered for weeks over a BP-managed prospect called Macondo No. 252. The name referred to a fictional town in the Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel 100 Years of Solitude. 126 men and women were aboard the rig that night. Only six worked directly for BP. The rest, like Randy Azell, worked for BP's contractors and subcontractors, including two of the largest corporations in the global oil service industry, Switzerland's Transocean and America's Halliburton. Azell got up and lurched into the hallway. The explosions began. They were take-your-breath-away explosions, shake-your-body-to-the-core explosions, take-your-vision-away explosions, one of his co-workers said later. Azell knew roughly what had happened. Drilling any oil well required managing the risk that trapped oil and gas under extreme pressure in the ground, when punctured by a drill bit, might escape uncontrollably and ignite. Since 2001, the workforce drilling for oil in the waters of the Gulf of Mexico, about 35,000 people altogether, had endured 60 deaths, 1,550 injuries, and 948 fires and explosions. The blast bounced Azell off the bulkhead and left him trapped on the floor beneath debris. He twice tried to raise himself, but could not. The third time, adrenaline jolted him. "I told myself, either you get up or you're going to lay here and die." He raised himself. Methane shooting through well pipes whooshed eerily in the darkness outside. Fire rolled in waves across the platform. Azell heard calls for help and stayed behind as more explosions rumbled. He tended an injured co-worker and then carried the wounded man to safety. He found co-workers lowering lifeboats and rafts into the water. He joined the exodus with Curtis. On another part of the platform, Mike Williams, the Deepwater Horizon's chief electronics technician, stood on the rig's edge with Andrea Flatus, 23, one of three women working aboard. They watched as the life rafts and rescue boats pushed away onto water now illuminated by fire and searchlights. The two of them seemed to be marooned.
"It's okay to be scared," Williams told her. "I'm scared, too."
"What are we going to do?" she asked.
Williams said they could either stay on the platform and burn to death, or jump more than 100 feet into the sea and hope for the best. Williams jumped. He fell, what seemed like forever, plunged into the water, resurfaced in a pool of greasy fuel, swam free, and found a rescue boat. The boat carried him to a larger vessel, the PSV Damon P. Bankston, which had responded to distress calls and pulled up nearby to collect survivors. On the Bankston, Williams discovered Andrea was alive and well. Back on the rig, after separating from Williams, she had seen a last life raft lowering from the platform and had leaped in. A roll call confirmed that 11 men were missing and presumed dead. As dawn approached, the Deepwater Horizon workers watched from the Bankston as the drilling ship burned and listed. It would soon sink to the bottom of the Gulf's seabed. BP later investigated the Deepwater Horizon accident and issued a report concluding, "A complex and interlinked series of mechanical failures, human judgments, engineering design, operational implementation and team interfaces came together to allow the initiation and escalation of the accident. Multiple companies, work teams, and circumstances were involved." Mike Williams put it this way.
"All the things they told us could never happen, happened.
BP's catastrophe soon surpassed the Exxon Valdez wreck as the worst oil spill in American history. The Valdez had released 257,000 barrels of oil into Prince William Sound. The amount of oil released by the Deepwater Horizon's blown well proved harder to measure, but eventually the best scientific estimates held that almost 5 million barrels spilled before the well could be plugged. The Exxon Valdez had jolted America's largest oil corporation to remake its safety, operations, and management systems. Over the ensuing 2 decades within ExxonMobil, the wreck on Bly Reef provided a kind of origins myth for internal reform and redemption, one repeated at employee meetings and safety minute rituals, as well as to journalists and shareholder audiences. If ExxonMobil regarded itself now as straighter than straight, the corporation's narrative went, it was only because it had known firsthand the terrible consequences of failed risk management. ExxonMobil's K Street staff often extrapolated the corporation's relatively strong safety record into an argument to members of Congress and oversight agencies that industry self-regulation can work well, and that ExxonMobil's self-regulation in particular was highly credible and should be relied upon by government and the public. 21 years and 27 days after the Exxon Valdez struck Bly Reef, the Deepwater Horizon blowout exposed what the bipartisan National Commission that investigated the disaster would call such systematic failures in risk management that they place in doubt the safety culture of the entire industry. Deepwater oil exploration and drilling, in particular, involved risks for which neither industry nor government has been adequately prepared. The chain of errors that destroyed the Deepwater Horizon exposed deep failures within BP and its contractors that were obviously not ExxonMobil's doing or responsibility. Yet, as had been the case in Prince William Sound 2 decades earlier, ExxonMobil and BP were linked in one critical aspect of the risk management system designed to protect America's ocean ecosystems from oil disasters: response and cleanup.